Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Wonderful music, getting us into the mood. And I was just talking to Passmore, and one of his horses died. So, yeah. How long? 20? But to win the Kentucky Derby in about 2 years.
Are you guys up to the glue farm? Huh? You guys up to the glue factory? Yeah, I give you something. After all the money you put into them, huh?
They do glue or do they do dog food?
Both.
Both?
Yeah. I know they do dog food for sure. Yeah, Jell-O too, yes.
Jell-O? That you eat? Huh. See if I eat any more Jell-O.
Hey, it's good for you, man.
That kind of makes me wonder. The hoofs are very solid, though, and the jelly wiggles. Man, no wonder horses have trouble. Okay. Prayer. We want to be in prayer for Tish. Talk to her, and there's some good things happening and not so good things happening. So we need to be in prayer for Tish. We need to be in prayer for Nathan. And let's don't stop praying for Edna. She's still in the healing process. So we need to be in prayer for Edna. And let me think here. Need to be in prayer for Sharon, friend of Judas. Having some really rough time right now. Need to be in prayer for her. Let's see.
Talk to Cindy tonight. The neighbor had cancer and we're going to have surgery. Mr. Tucker had surgery and that went well.
Good. Okay.
Not sure if she's a believer or not. So we
keep prayer for the gospel.
And also, West, the son-in-law.
Okay. Still needs a prayer, right? In prayer.
Cindy, of course.
I am, Cindy. Absolutely, Cindy. And let's see. Let's be in prayer for Judith. She's away and be traveling back. So just pray for her safety. And, okay. Well, we're really down tonight, and fighting few, we can make it.
We got the internet, we got the CD player.
Got the TV playing.
CD.
Oh, CD. How they said TV, and I was, wait a minute, no way. I'll have to dress up if we're on TV.
That's okay. It's 5 o'clock here.
Yeah, they're doing it on radio. No seed. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the vast material that we cover in the study of your word. Last night, the underworld, unbelievers and believers. And tonight, Heavenly Father, we deal with our life. Last night was after death. Tonight, before we die, our life. Pray that your spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Things you'd have us to learn, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's just begin tonight with John 15, 7, and just to orient us to what's going on in our studies. John 15, 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, my doctrines, my teachings in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. That's a positive answer. That's a yes answer. Some people like to say all prayers are answered. Sometimes it's no. But this is a yes answer. It seems like that's it. And it's what it says. Now let's go over to 2 John a moment. Turn to Revelation and come backward, and you come to Jude, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Okay, 2 John, excuse me, and we want to just read through verse 9 to orient us to where we left off last week. Verse 9, whoever, and in context it refers to a believer, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ or the teaching of Christ does not have God. And we looked at several verses as to what that means, not to have God. The one who abides in his teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. So we learned a little bit more about what abiding is about and what it means. Now tonight we're back in John 15:7. So let's look back at John 15:7. Abiding in Jesus Christ and his words abiding in you has great effects over our prayer life. That's what he's saying. So verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. The importance of teaching of Jesus Christ from the Bible cannot be overemphasized. Abiding in his words, abiding in Bible doctrine. So I think we need to take up some points here in abiding in his teaching, abiding in his words, abiding in his doctrine. All three are correct translations. Point one. First of all, this involves the function of hearing the teaching of Scripture, listening to the teaching of Scripture. This involves listening, hearing. And we saw last night that horrible phrase, but they would not listen. And so one of the great phrases is that we listen. And we're not going to go through nearly all of the hundreds of times that this is in the Bible, but let's note a few in pertinent situations. Let's start off in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, or the awe. It's not fear in the sense we think of fear, but of the awe of God. Let's look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. So these are just exhortations to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Let's look at Psalm 81, a few pages over. Psalm 81. Want to look at verse 8. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you would listen to me. But of course they wouldn't, but if you would. There'd be so many things that he could do if they would just listen. Look at verse 11 in the same chapter. But my people did not listen to my voice. Okay, let's put these together. Look at verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you would just listen to me. Verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. In other words, his teaching, what he had to say. Look at verse 13 of the same chapter. I thought about just studying this chapter, but we'll just read these verses. Oh, that my people would listen to me. See, he just wants so much for us to listen to his teaching. That Israel would walk in my ways. Now, the interesting thing about verse 13, if we covered this passage, is you have to know his ways in order to walk his ways. Note in verse 13, you listen to me, and the result of that would be that you would walk in my ways. That's very important to our study. If my words abide in you, then you, whatever you would desire, whatever you would ask, or whatever you would ask in context is determined by your concentration. And if you're walking in His Word, whatever you're going to ask is going to be in accordance with His Word and His will. So these things are going to have an effect on us that we're just totally not aware of. So verse 13, one more time, because it's a cause-effect thing here. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. So in order to walk in His ways, they have to listen. Let's look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. This time we want to look at verse 25. Psalm 106:25. But grumbled in their tents, they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Instead of listening, they grumbled. They complained, in other words. Israel always complained. And this is a characteristic of the nation of Israel right up to this day. Always complaining, not listening to the truth of His Word. Now let's look at Isaiah 1, the first chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 15. Isaiah 1, verse 15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. This is a very important passage to our study. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Okay? If you won't listen to me, I'm going to listen to you. So, coming to our study in John 15, if my words abide in you, whatever you ask, so your asking is going to be in accordance with His words abiding in you, and I will answer. Well, if you're not listening to His words, He's not going to answer. A lot of people read these passages like John 15:7, and they say, oh, here, look here. It just says, boy, whatever you desire, He'll give you. Well, you forgot the two conditions, that you abide in Him and His words abide in you. And that's going to be the key and the secret to this whole thing. Let's look at Isaiah 28. I'm just picking out a few. There are hundreds of these. Isaiah 28:11. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Indeed, He will speak to this people through stammering lips and fire and a tongue. He who said to them, here is rest. Give rest to the weary. Here is repose. But they would not listen. Remember that verse 12 is the gospel. But they would not listen. They would not listen to the gospel. And since they would not listen to the gospel, and here's another result. So, since they would not listen to the truth of the gospel, the word of the Lord is the gospel, to them will be order on order, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. In other words, works. You don't want to listen to my gospel of grace through faith, then when every time you open a Bible, it's going to be works. Why would He do that? That they may go and stumble backward, because they wouldn't listen, be broken, snared and taken captive. So we have all these verses. By the way, one we haven't looked at in verse 28, chapter 28, is verse 23. Look at verse 23. Of the same chapter. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. But of course, they would not listen. Let's look at chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 9. Chapter 30, Verse 9. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who what? Who refuse to listen. Why are they rebellious? They refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. So they rebel against the Lord. They do not listen to His instruction. Isaiah is filled with them. But let's look at Jeremiah 6 a moment. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6, verse 10. Jeremiah 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed. See, that word behold means I can't do it. I can't do it. Their ears are closed and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. And if you do not delight in the Lord, then you're not going to pray according to His plan and His desire and His will. You do not delight in the Word, you'll delight in the flings of the flesh. So it's going to have great trouble. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter of Jeremiah 6. Verse 17. And I set watchmen over you. This would be equivalent to the prophets, the priests, and today the pastor who's teaching the truth. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. They just said, we're not going to come to Bible class. We're not going to study the Word. We're just not that interested. And they say it, if not in word, they say it in action. And people, this just flows all through the whole Bible. Look at chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Chapter 7. Remember, Jeremiah is writing to the people who are in horrible condition. Chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. Chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. Hard-headed, arrogant. They did evil more than their fathers. And you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. Jeremiah, I still want the truth taught. But let me tell you something, they will not listen. Jeremiah, I want you to give them warning, but they will not listen. I think that's kind of depressing. The Lord saying, I want you to be my messenger, but nobody's going to listen to you. Well, then how about let's both forget it and just go sit down and eat some ice cream. My goodness. See? Alright. But they will not listen to you. And you shall call to them, but they will not answer you. So, this is the condition that these people were in. Let's look at Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11, verse 7. I hate to keep repeating it, but I just want you to know, we're just going through a few of the many passages that are there. All right, Jeremiah 11, verse 7. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Listen to my teaching. Listen to what I have to say. They're not going to do it. And it's just like America today does not want the teaching of the Word of God. I wonder, even in our own assembly, how many people that come on Sunday really want the teaching of the Word. Okay? Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. And let's look at verses 10 and 11. Jeremiah 13, 10. This wicked people who refuse to listen. Why are they wicked? Because they refuse to listen. They refuse to listen, so what happens? They become wicked. This wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts, arrogance, and have gone after other gods to serve them and to bow down to them, let them be just like this wasteland, which is totally worthless. For as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah, cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not listen. He had a wonderful plan for them. Wonderful plan of glory. Just prosperity. So many wonderful things. But they would not listen to his words. They simply did not want to hear it. Look at verse 15 of the same chapter. Just lie down. Listen and give heed. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Verse 17. But if you will not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride or arrogance, and my eyes will bitterly weep and flow down with tears because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive. If you will not listen, you're going to be taken captive. So to have a life and to have his words abide in you, you have to listen to the teaching of Scripture. This means you must find a place where the Scriptures are taught in truth and make it a point to be there and listen and hear this teaching. Just have to do it all through history. Point two. And you must do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. You must listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He will open your ears. He is the Spirit of truth. Without the Holy Spirit, no one can hear the truth of God's Word. So point two, you must listen. You must hear the teaching of the Word, but you must do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He's the Spirit of truth. Brings us to point three. Not only do you have to listen, not only do you have to hear, you have to be most discerning of what you hear. Are you hearing the truth of God's Word? Are you hearing the truth? Multitudes go to church where the Bible isn't taught at all. I mean at all. And yet, they will apply John 15, verse 7 to themselves. Oh, well, he'll answer my prayer. I go to church. I go to church all the time. Well, that's fine. But it's not where the Word is being taught. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. It's works. Things are pleasing to the ear, but it isn't the truth. So not only do you have to listen, you have to pay attention to what you're listening to. You have to be discerning. Are you hearing the truth of God's Word? And you start off with correctly understanding the gospel. And when you correctly understand the gospel, and then someone tells you things about the Christian life, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't line up to the ruler of the gospel. It doesn't line up to how I was saved. So you have to be careful. Multitudes go to church throughout church history, and their prayers were never heard by God. Why? They weren't listening to the teaching of truth. Point four. My words abide in you. This is up to each individual believer. Each believer must decide if doctrine, abiding in them, is a priority, a goal, an essential to their lives. Every individual has to decide that. Everybody just decides for themselves as to whether or not the truth is going to be a priority in their life. Not bragging, I don't even really understand it totally, but I just know since a little boy. I wanted to be a church if they were preaching, and I'm not sure everything we heard was truth, but I know that I heard some truth, and my mom said that I'd read a bulletin and there'd be some kind of deacon's meeting or something at the church. I wanted to go and didn't understand why I couldn't go. Hey, they're meeting at the church. And then I ran into, that was a great Bible teaching, and ran there. And it just, you have to decide, is this what I want for my life? Because it's going to regulate your life If you make it your life, it's going to regulate your life, and that means it's going to regulate what? Your prayer life. It's going to direct your prayer life. It's going to change your prayer life the more of the truth you have. Everyone knows the importance of eating, yet many eat way too much of the wrong thing. Many do not eat too much of the right thing, but we all know we have to eat. Therefore, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, we all know we have to eat, but it's what you eat. Point five. The expression, the word abiding in you, is not in words, but in consistent attendance where the scripture is taught. What I mean is, it isn't just a matter, I believe it, I have it, I read the Bible, and that. No, it's you can claim it, but whether or not it's true, whether or not the truth of His Word, of the scriptures, are taught and they abide in you. Some like to think the Lord is important to them, that Bible doctrine is important to them, biblical truth is important to them, but they do not go out of their way to be consistent in the hearing. You can claim whatever you want. The truth is an entirely different issue. So you can claim it, but it's going to be by your life. There are a lot of people, that's very important to me. It's just like a lot of, over the years, there were different men. My family's very important. But pretty soon, the family fell apart. It really wasn't. You like to think it is, maybe. You like to say it is, that's for sure. But whether or not it is going to be determined by your living. So this is something that you don't just get to say. It's got to become a reality if you want it to affect your prayer life or your prayers become true. That's the great thing. It's like a person, the church or this is very important to me. Just look at your bank, your bank book at the end of the year. Just go through your checkbook. See what was really important. Put how much money you spent on fun, how much money you spent on TV and cable and this and this and then on church and this. And then you'll find out what was really important. It's just that simple. Those figures don't lie. They don't lie. You've got it written down in your checkbook, right? That's why I could make and keep and build my checkbook now. But that's how you can find out what's been important to you. Just look down. Figure out all the money, where it went. So what you claim and what's reality. And a lot of people live in the deceit. They've deceived themselves as to doctrine's important to me. It isn't abiding in you. You're not listening. You're not listening. So affect your prayer life. Point six. So a believer must make up his mind, his or her mind, if they desire doctrine. If they love it. I just love studying the Bible. And it's not just because I'm a preacher. I'd go to a church where it was taught if I didn't. There's so much in it. There's just so much about history and science and life and death and what's left of history, where history's been. There's just so much. This book is just so exciting. But you have to make up your mind if you desire doctrine to abide in you or not. Then you have to make a decision to bring that desire to reality and make it consistent. It is not a one-day decision, but it's a day-by-day-by-day decision. Okay, let's look at Galatians 5 on this. Galatians 5. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. I want to read verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, I want you to note something. Included in the fruit of the Spirit is what? faithfulness, and self-control, self-discipline. These are directly related to His Word abiding in you. Are you faithful in the intake of the Word? Are you faithful in walking by the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you to the intake of the Word? Self-discipline. Well, I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. It takes self-discipline for the Word to abide in you. We all know it takes discipline if you're going to have your body in good condition, to eat correctly, go to the gym, exercise, do all of these things. It takes self-discipline. But people, the Word abiding in you takes self-discipline, not from the flesh, but from the Holy Spirit. So faithfulness in being consistent in the hearing of the Word, being faithful, grasping the truth of the Word, getting it in your soul, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not from the flesh. I'm going to do this from the flesh. No, it's not from the flesh. It's from the Holy Spirit. Self-discipline in organizing your life to be consistent, not allowing daily things to interfere with your love of the Word. Believer must exercise maximum self-discipline to concentrate on the message. But this self-discipline is not the self-discipline that comes from the flesh. This is a merit. That kind of self-discipline has no merit before God. This self-discipline comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You've got to know how to be filled with the Spirit, to have this fruit of the Spirit, to be self-disciplined, to be in the teaching of the Word. We live in a day and time, there are just too many other things to do. There are just so many things to do. This is one thing John Henson and I will, and we do this in joking, but, the Risleys, they have it easy. Those people don't have a TV. Those people don't have anything. They got it easy. Of course, they don't, and there's a lot more involved there. But in that sense, we got too many things you could be doing. Now, I don't want to go through a long list. Some of you may get up and walk out on me here. But there are just a lot of things that we could be doing. So you've got to have a self-disciplined life to have His Word abiding in you. Point 7. This principle is presented in life of Jesus Christ. Whoa! In the life of Christ? Look with me at Luke 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Okay, Luke chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 52. Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus, the humanity of Christ, kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now you combine this with chapter 4, verse 1. Just for a moment, look over chapter 4, verse 1, where we're going to combine these two things together. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now that takes up another deal, but I'm just showing you, he did in the power of the Spirit. Now let's go back to 2:52. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Kept increasing. This is the imperfect active indicative of the compound word prokopto. Prokopto. We'll have a little fun with this tonight. Let's see here. Yeah, this will do. Prokopto. Prokopto. It's a compound word. Prokopto. And it's made up, first of all, of that prefix, that P-R-O. This is P-R-O, pro. And pro means before. Pro means forward. Now, copto, K-O-P-T-O, copto means to cut or to strike, to beat or to drive forward. With repeated strokes to go forward in progress, to make progress, to advance. It's a very interesting descriptive word. It's a very interesting descriptive word. Let me give you a few points just so that you can carry your thought through with this beautiful word that just characterizes the life of our Savior that we should want to imitate. First of all, the word denotes change of state, change of position. To go forward, you're changing your position. To change one's state for the better by advancing, by making progress. The humanity of Jesus Christ continued to advance in his life. And people, if the humanity of Jesus Christ needed it, how much more us? How much more us? Secondly, the word denotes progress or accomplishment. We should each desire a progress in our grasping of knowledge of the Word of God. To progress or advance. Now, the more I study, the more I realize how little I know. I mean, there was probably a time in my ministry when I thought I about had it. But the more I study, the more I just know so little of the total that's there. Point three, the word denotes increase. So it denotes a change of state or position, progress, and increase. Increase to a cause, a significant increase in something. The word denotes that which causes a significant increase in something. Here, wisdom. Increase in the knowledge of Scripture. Increase in an understanding of the Word. And the fourth thing that's in this Hebrew or Greek word, rather than lexicon, duration. Duration. Change of position, progress, increase, duration. You continue in some activity for the duration of your life. You just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And never get tired. The verb is the imperfect, denoting the duration of some action. Denoting the duration of the action. Everything about the word is a duration. That faithfulness, the consistency. The active voice, Jesus Christ made a decision every day to advance, to increase in his wisdom. Remember, this is the humanity of Christ, not the deity. The indicative mood is the reality of the fact that we must all make this our goal, our objective, in our lives, throughout our lives. The verb is a picture. To cut, to cut, to cut, to keep. Keep on cutting. Over and over and over. Repetitious in life of the intake of the Word. The knowledge of doctrine does not come automatically. We have to make daily decisions in our lives to keep advancing. So this word means to change in position, progress in the Word. Change in position, it changes your thought process, where it changes your prayer life. You start changing your prayer life. Then you progress in life and to increase in that knowledge and in that understanding and in duration throughout your life, in good times and bad times, in season and out of season. And Jesus kept on advancing in wisdom. Sophia, wisdom of truth. Bible doctrine, wisdom of truth, Bible doctrine. Wisdom does not refer specifically to the doctrine itself, but is dependent upon the knowledge of doctrine. The word Sophia, wisdom, is not a synonym of doctrine, but it depends on having doctrine. Wisdom in life, wisdom on how to apply the doctrine. A person may have a lot of biblical truth, but no wisdom. How can that be? Wisdom is the Spirit giving the ability to use the doctrine. I used to say, apply doctrine from the launching pad of your soul. Well, people, that's all nonsense. That's flesh. That's the flesh. Even a genius cannot spiritually apply doctrine in the soul. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the one who gives wisdom. And Jesus kept on advancing in wisdom and stature. The Greek word here refers to maturity, but again, not just maturity in life, but spiritual maturity. He's going to need a lot of maturity to go to the cross, to say, yes, I will take the pain and the punishment of the cross and bear it. The suffering that awaits him, Jesus Christ will need all the doctrine, all the wisdom, all the spiritual maturity that he can muster. And it has been granted to us to suffer for the benefit of Christ. Guess what? It has been granted to us to muster all this doctrine, all this wisdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in favor with God and men. The word favor is charis, which is sometimes translated grace, sometimes translated favor, sometimes translated acceptance. Jesus Christ advanced in acceptance with God the Father, and acceptance even with members of the human race who believed in him as their Savior. Okay, let's go back to John 15, verse 7. John 15, 7. If, maybe you will, maybe you will not, it's up to you, being consistent, being faithful in the intake, listening to the teaching of the Word, you, believer, abide in me, Jesus Christ. We abide in him by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and by constantly thinking of him, taking in his Word. Second condition, and my words, my teaching, my doctrine, abide in you. This depends on the daily intake of doctrine. This depends on consistency in the growth and listening to the teaching of the Word of God. Whatever you ask shall be done for you. Now we come to abiding and prayer. Whether you abide in Christ, his Word abide in you, it affects your prayer life. Remember, there are two abidings in this verse. Got to pay attention to what the verse is saying now. We abide in him. His words abide in us. Remember the third class condition. This is up to each believer. Ask is the aorist middle imperative of a teo. Means to hear, ask in prayer. The aorist point in time when you go into prayer. Whatever you wish. Present active subjunctive of thelo, which means desire. Whatever you wish, whatever you desire. I want you to look at John 15. I want you to look at verse 16 for a moment. We'll be coming back to this, but right now we're in verse 7. But I just want you to look at 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We have two powerful verses on prayer. Whatever you ask, he's going to do it. Okay, boy, God, let me marry this woman. Let me marry this man. God, please let me get this job or that one. I pray that you will let me win the lottery. I pray you'll get me out of this marriage. I pray you'll stop this divorce. Maybe make me well from cancer. Cure my mother, my father, my friend, my husband, my wife from cancer. Help me pass this test. And it goes on and on and on, time after time. And you know what? Prayers are not answered. Prayers are not answered. Some people like to say, oh yes, he said no. Their answer, he said no. But look what it says. These shall be done for you. That's it. They'll be done. That is the way a lot of preachers preach this passage, and that's the way a lot of people take it. And then it doesn't happen. They do not get what they wished and prayed for. Conclusion, God lies. Prayer doesn't work. And many people become very despondent with God and with prayer all because they do not understand God. They do not understand this verse. They don't pay attention to it. They're in what I call prayer abuse. And it all starts with properly understanding the two conditions. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Very few people know how to abide in him. I'm sorry. Very few know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. Very few abide in his word day in and day out. Listen to the truthful teaching of the Bible. Yes. So one of the first things, this lesson's been all the way through the Bible.
I know, but I'm just saying that besides the truth you said, I'm just thinking that all has to go that God is in control, so maybe it doesn't get answered, or does get answered, or even if you're in the Spirit, He has something going on where...
Yeah. Here, he says he will do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Well,
It doesn't say, if he says no, that's an answer to prayer, but not here. This says he'll do it. Whatever you ask, he'll do it. That's a powerful statement. So we better understand the conditions. Better understand the condition for him doing this. You want this kind of power in your prayer life. Most people think that they're okay with God. They think about him. So, therefore, he abides in them. And they go to church every now and then. Or they listen to gospels. Or they read their Bible. And that'll take care of his word abiding in them. Well, people, it won't. It simply will not do it. Prayer is vital to God. Now, right after that, you want to put down, bearing fruit is vital to God.
Bearing or bearing?
Bearing. Producing fruit is vital to God. Now, I know that what I teach, I emphasize faith in the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to think that the momentum of my teaching is loving as Christ loves. But I also know that the fact that loving as Christ loves is dependent on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, therefore, to be empowered by the Spirit and to love as Jesus Christ loved, you have to be empowered by the Spirit. So I emphasize how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit by faith. You have to know how to be empowered by the Spirit in order to have the love of Christ. So I emphasize the teaching of the filling of the Spirit. But our objective is immediate relationship, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now here, Jesus Christ emphasizes abiding in him, his word abiding in you, and three, prayer. And prayer. And for answered prayer, please note, Jesus Christ makes it very clear, if you want your prayers answered, there's two conditions. First condition, if you abide in me. How do we do that? One, continually abiding in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Second, my words abide in you. And from 2 John 1:9, actually it's only one chapter, 9, continue in his teaching. Continue, do not stray, but continue in his doctrine. So the question arises, what does it mean to continue in doctrine? What does that mean really? Does that mean daily, every day, 7 days a week? 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Once a week. 2, 3, 4 times a month. And so on. Reading the Bible, does that do it? Listening to the radio. Listen to different radio preachers. Does that do it? People, I'm not here to be legalistic. I'm not going to set the framework. I just encourage you, don't fool with God. Don't fool with him. I teach that tithing is not for the New Testament. That certainly doesn't mean we're not to give. Don't fool with God. Well, I give a little bit, and that's it. Preacher said no tithing, no legalism here. I'm not legalistic. I just give a couple of bucks a week. I'm not legalistic at all. Don't fool with God. I remember in seminary, I was so fortunate as to be in seminary. They hadn't had summer school in about 3 or 4 decades. And so they started, they were going to institute a summer program. And just by my blessing fortune, that first summer, they were going to teach the first year of Hebrew. Well, it's Dallas Seminary. You cannot take the first year of Greek and the first year of Hebrew at the same time. So I had to take the first year of Greek in my first year. So that would mean my second year I would start the first year of Hebrew. But what they did was they said we're going to have the first year of Hebrew taught that summer, the whole first year, and if you went to both sessions. And it's hot. So Dr. Barber, wonderful, wonderful man, he said, okay, gentlemen, I'm not going to make you wear a coat and tie like we do through the year. Just a nice dress shirt and some slacks and that all. Well, people, it wasn't even 2 weeks. And they started wearing shorts, shirts hanging out. And he just got up and he just said, see, you gentlemen don't know how to understand. You don't know how to take what I wanted to do here. So now it'll be coats and ties. Oh! No, I tried. You didn't want it. So we're going to do it. And what I'm saying to you is here, don't mess with God. He says, abiding in His Word. Listen to my Word. I wouldn't fool with Him. So, I'm not saying it's going to have to be this many times a week, this many times a day, or all of this type of thing. But I'm just beckoning you, don't fool with God in this regard. Now, I'm running out of time, but I don't want to leave this and just come back to this point. We get an idea of the answer to this from a couple of passages. Look with me at Deuteronomy 8:3. How often should I listen to the Word of God? Is it every day? Is it this or that? Well, let's just get a feel. Let's just see if we can get some hints from God of how often. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's read together verse 3 and see if you get a hint of how often. Verse 3. And He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. They did not know about that type of food. That He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God, the mouth of the Lord. So look at Matthew 4:4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 4. But He answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Look back at verse 1. In Matthew 4. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit. It's just interesting to me that right there, that close together, you have living in the Word and the Holy Spirit. Okay, people. How many times a week do we eat? How many times a day do we eat? And so we get a little hint that it's more than just once or twice a week that we should listen to the teaching of the Word of God in order for doctrine to abide in you. You have to live doctrine. You have to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. You have to hear it and listen. So I'm not going to be a legalist and say how many times, but I just want you to understand something. If you pray daily and you want those prayers answered, and those prayers answered depend on Christ abiding in you and His Word, or you abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in you, gives you an idea how often we ought to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. So we'll pick it up here next Wednesday night and continue with His Word abiding in you and the answer to prayer. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. One of the most wonderful privileges that we have, Father, is to pray to You, to communicate with You, jointly as we're doing now, or privately as we do in our lives. Go into our own closet, into our own area, and pray. Maybe on our knees, maybe not, but just alone, praying with You. And Father, it would be foolish to say we didn't want our prayers answered. Why would we waste the time if we didn't want them answered? We do want our prayers answered. And if we want our prayers answered, there are two conditions. We abide in Christ, and His Word abides in us. How often do we abide in Christ? Once a week? Once in a while? Or is it our desire that we abide in Christ all the time? Throughout the day, good moments, bad moments, lonely moments, hurt moments, happy moments, joyful moments. How often do we want His Word abiding in us? Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things that we've seen tonight, that each one of us work through these things in our own relationship with You, with Your Son, with Your Word. This may become evident in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.